In certain restaurants, instead of a server taking your order, it's a tablet. That's only one of the changes automation is bringing to the front and the back of the kitchen. As we continue our ongoing series, The Last Job in Hawaii, today we look at the jobs most vulnerable to automation in the food service industry. Jason Wong is the Executive Vice President of Sales and Marketing at HFM Food Service, Hawaii's largest statewide distributor. He's recently back from a national industry conference, and we sat down this week to consider the mainland changes making their way to Hawaii.
If you look at the mainland for food service in general across the U.S., it's about a $250 billion market. Maybe that number might have changed a little bit upwards today, but roughly about $250 billion. Here in the state of Hawaii, it's about $1.35 billion, according to the last Restaurant Association survey. But if you look at that, the volume here in Hawaii kind of never really warranted the automation that you can see on the mainland. The ROI for that automation would just take too long. But what's happening out there is costs are coming down in automation. All this investment into robotics, big data, the different systems, the competition, as it's ramped up, prices are starting to come down. So there's going to become a point quickly in the future where those systems do make sense out here in Hawaii.
Right. So there could be a return on investment that would make sense relative to the size of the market that it's serving.
Correct.
We often think that something is an overnight sensation or all of a sudden, boom, it's out there and it's filling people's consciousness. But really, when it comes to automation, the development of artificial intelligence, this has been going on for a very long time. It seems, though, to be moving into greater and greater awareness as we've seen androids develop in other countries or having an interview with one. People have seen that kind of thing and also heard about trucks that can drive themselves and lots of tests with driverless cars, those kinds of things, too. But for your industry, what would make the most sense were it to be automated here? What would have to happen aside from the cost factor?
Well, I just think that the technology has to catch up a little bit more with some of the smaller players, per se. You know, you've seen this in very large distributors in the mainland, probably 20 billion plus, which there are a few. It's going to start off relatively simple. And I think if you remember back to that Alien movie, I was thinking about it on my way over here. Sigourney Weaver jumps into that mechanized suit and she's moving all the boxes around and the crates. That's coming. These exoskeletons have been in development for several years. They started working for people who were paralyzed, but they see the commercial application to those. I was just reading about it the other day, and I forget which company in Japan that was working on it. It might be Panasonic, but with the convergence of technologies, we talked about big data, Tesla with their battery technology. So when you have the convergence of big data, battery technology, smaller, they can be more powerful, fit onto your back, you know, small where you're not carrying it.
You're talking about storage.
Storage, you know, you have these exoskeletons that can make one worker do the work of three. So maybe it's not an immediate replacement of the worker, but maybe the workforce comes down. So what used to have an application for many thousands of people, maybe you get it down to many hundreds of people because of technology. Fully automated warehouses at some point will become a reality. I think that's a lot further out. We're talking maybe 15, 20 years here in the state. But as machinery or robotics kind of play a role, we're going to see that accelerate.
We know that real estate is always at a premium in Hawaii. We are, after all, an island state. Trying to move things from point A to point B within the structure of an island, let alone from island to island, is also a big part of this. What do you think happens as costs continue to rise and people are looking at how they can live here or not live here based on what jobs they can get in a traditional service-oriented economy? What happens to disrupt all of that? What do you think will be what becomes the driver of that kind of disruption that we see at that level?
Oh, my goodness. This whole supply chain to Hawaii is so vulnerable to automation and technology. It's unfortunate that the real estate prices continue to skyrocket. It puts a ton of pressure on the individual restaurateurs. And at the end of the day, from the ships coming in to what we do and then getting to the restaurateur, they're feeling all that pressure with the leases that they have to sign with their individual buildings. So I think if it starts down at the bottom at the restaurateur level, I was just at a Chili's the other night, and boom, what comes out on the table but a couple tablets? not just for the kids to play games on, but can take your order, you can pay on it, you can get your refill, basically anything you want for that experience right there at your palm of your hands. And now you're disrupting the labor pool for wait staff. Again, but pressure on cost. You know, where do you take the cost out? We've seen a ton of food inflation over the last several years that put additional pressure on the restaurateurs. So they're looking for any way that they can kind of still make this a profitable business for them. And they're not making huge margins. I mean, the restaurant business is very tight on the margin. So it's just finding every penny that they can to make sure they stay in business.
And, of course, that means if you don't have to pay workman's comp, if you don't have to pay any of the taxes on for someone, or having to have maybe as many people that you have to manage.
Correct.
That becomes at least a little bit more feasible for some. But for others, when they're looking at the high-touch element of this, because that seems to be the place where everyone always wants to point to as well, those were really where the last jobs are going to be, where you need to have that human element, the human touch. As you look at the breadth of your business, is there a part in that where high-touch is never going to go away?
Well, I don't want to say never, because anytime somebody says never, there's somebody else saying, okay, I can change that. But if you look at it all the way starting from the West Coast, where we consolidate all of our goods, and really everybody in Hawaii consolidating their goods on the West Coast, just saw an article the other day, they're testing the first automated chips. There's a whole bunch of reasons why that may or may not work, but they're there. So these automated chips with reducing the crew was a huge expense when you look at why the shipping company is trying to be more competitive. The crew was such a big expense. Now imagine you have an automated ship coming from the West Coast, coming to a port here in Honolulu. Now the longshoremen that are running those cranes, do they need to be staffed, or can you have an automated crane to take those off and then dump them onto an automated truck that shows up to our warehouse that could be unloaded by people in exoskeletons that put on a conveyor system into a fully automated warehouse? I mean, the capabilities are all there. Now, whether or not we'd be able to get that out to the restaurateur in an automated fashion, that's a big challenge. I think our industry has been looking about where is that disruption going to come? You know, our value to the customers really is in that last mile of delivery. You know, we're seeing them and putting things away, making sure they have the right goods, making sure the temperature controls are all done. All the issues with food safety that we've recently had here in Hawaii, that's a big deal. And having that human touch to make sure we ensure that all the way along the safety chain is really important. But I think there's a ton of opportunity to be disrupted in that whole supply chain I just mentioned.
As you look at that story that you just told me, if you were to place some time frame on that, how soon do you think we're actually looking at that vision as being reality?
I think the exoskeleton reality is coming very quickly. The more I read about that and seeing where they are in the development on that, I see that in the next 3 to 5 years. I think from the automated ships and automated trucks, I think you have a lot of regulatory issues, probably some labor union issues on the logistics shipping across the ocean. That's probably a 10 to 20 year time horizon on that one.
And for warehouses?
Warehouses are already there. It's going to be a matter of, will the companies here see the need to update their warehousing with those systems and to get an ROI in a reasonable amount of time that it would be worth it? I don't see that happening here quickly. What do we say, $1.35 billion for the market? There's a lot of investment already into infrastructure here. I don't think we would see our first one for at least a decade out.
But you know, a blink of an eye, and that's going to be here.
Absolutely.
You were just at a conference with your industry. Was there anything that was discussed there about disruption and how this is happening that you think we really need to focus on better?
I do. And the whole conference was on disruption. And we had the ex-CEO of Blockbuster, obviously, started talking about Netflix. And what he mentioned about disruption was, it happens very slowly until it happens, and then it happens in that blink of an eye. So what we need to be doing as a community here in Hawaii is to keep it top of mind, to be talking about it from our education system, about how things might change to make sure our kids are going to be ramped up to do business as this disruption happens. Think about our workforce and how, as this does happen, how can we retool them to be successful? Because at the end of the day, we want Hawaii to be a very competitive market, be able to compete across a worldwide stage. You know, we've seen that on the culinary side of the business. Hawaii has become a culinary destination in the world. So if we can just keep it top of mind, and one of the suggestions that I heard at that conference was, if you're not talking about potential disruption in your management meetings every week, you need to be.
It's a good point for us to remember. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jason Wong is the Executive Vice President of Sales and Marketing at HFM Food Service. It's the largest statewide food service distributor. His career spans 30 years, and he's the fourth generation in his family to be a part of the industry that automation continues to change. Other episodes of our ongoing series are on our website. Just look for The Last Job in Hawaii.